Round of applause, it's your big night, you've been waiting for this. You got your dress picked, your shoes right, your jewelry flawless. New names in your call list, thought I'd never know all this. Took a risk just to play that role, must have took a whole lot of courage. Damn, sure know how to work a room. Baby, ooh, you a star. Then make it home right for dinner time. Where'd you study at, Juilliard? You so gifted, no audition. Must be chasing after the fame. Well, the stage is set and the winner is. Look, they called your name. Congratulations, you played yourself. Congratulations, you played yourself. Congratulations, you played yourself.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Don't be so shocked now, you earned it. Can't even speak, you so nervous. Had your speech ready, your girl set. The back you like a chorus. Chorus, alibis, just a noble lie. Ain't no need to apologize. Go ahead, baby, accept that shit. And look, this whole thing's televised.
Just so thankful.
I'm just so thankful you done got caught. For that jewelry maker was caught. Cue that rapper music, cut it short. No audition, you so gifted. Heard you chasing after the fame. Well, the stage is set and the winner is. Look, they called your name.
It's crazy.
Congratulations, you played yourself. Congratulations, you played yourself. Congratulations, you played yourself.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, you played yourself. Congratulations, you played yourself. Congratulations, you played yourself.
Congratulations.
It's your boy Hollywood. Thank you for tuning in. This is Hollywood and Friends. We get it in every Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern. Appreciate you for listening, however you're listening. Be sure to follow me on social media. It's at I Am Hollywood. That's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. If you're on TikTok, follow me there too. It's at I Am Hollywood NY. And also follow my producer Stacy over here at Hampton Blue Network across all platforms. Just remember, BLU is how you spell blue. And if you want to see us, see our pretty faces, not just hear us, hit up YouTube, youtube.com/HamptonBlue. Like, comment, subscribe. There's a lot of new content over there. Go check it out. See what we're working with. If it's your first time tuning in, welcome. What we do over here is get into what's hot in the blogs for this week. The stories that have us all in the chokehold and maybe arguing in the comment section on Instagram or something. That's what we're chopping it up about. And it's not always in the most politically correct way, but stay tuned. Let me tell you what we're going to be chopping it up about this week. This week, I'm only chopping it up about three topics for this week. One, the biggest story that I feel happened this week was your man Diddy Holmes being raided. And I want to talk about what the internet, how the internet could be when it comes to stories like this. And also the latest on it, a lot of misconceptions, a lot of like false narratives that's out. And I also want to explore the notion that some people feel is that we as a people like to love to see when a black man gets taken down. That's like a thing that some people feel is happening. I want to explore that a little bit. Also, we're talking about Beyonce just put out what might be the biggest album of the year. And we only in March, but we're going to chop it up about Cowboy Carter and all of the little historic aspects of it is deeper than we think. We're going to chop it up about that. And last but not least, which is probably going to tie into my what blows mind is, and it kind of falls into the whole just like false narratives that people put out and stuff. But today is Easter Sunday and Resurrection Sunday. If you're one that celebrates it, I should say. But also it happens to fall this year on the same day as another day that's being like honored or what's the word I'm looking for? Like represented today is International Transgender Day of Visibility. And a lot of people are upset online and blaming Biden for what they feel is trying to replace Easter with this day, which is simply not true. And I'm going to explain exactly why. So let's kick it off. What's hot in these blogs with Beyonce and this album that she just released called Cowboy Carter. It's her, I believe, her eighth studio album. It's the second part of a three-part series of the Renaissance. You know, Act One was Renaissance that came out 2 years ago, and now we have Act Two, which is Cowboy Carter. And when it first was announced, it was revealed that it was going to be on the country tip. And now it's out, it's here, and it's more than just a country album. There's so many historic little nuggets involved in this album. And even down to the track listing and the photo, if you've seen it, when Beyonce put up the track listing, it was a photo that looked kind of like a flyer. Even that has a nugget buried within it. And with that, I'm gonna tell you, it's basically I'm drawing a complete blank right now. It's basically taken from how they used to have the flyers back during like the Jim Crow era, where black artists were performing these clubs and stuff, and they called it the Chitlin' Circuit. And the Chitlin' Circuit was basically, it was a collection of performance venues where it said that it was quoted as being any place white people don't go to see black people. And there's a bunch of flyers you would find from various acts that was, you know, traveling around at that time, around the time when we had to go in through the back door of these places to perform, or some of these venues probably didn't even want us to perform at that era. Her flyer, which was the track listing, is inspired by that. So we kicking it off with the historic little nuggets. But let's talk about even the songs on the album. Like one song in particular, Black Bird, I think is like the second song on the album. And it's actually a cover of one of the Beatles songs. And Paul McCartney, when he spoke about the inspiration behind the song Black Bird, and this is likely why Beyonce chose to cover it at the time, he said, I had in mind a black woman rather than a bird. Those were the days of the civil rights movement, which all of us care passionately about. So this was really a song from me to a black woman experiencing these problems in the States. Like, let me encourage you to keep trying, to keep your faith. There is hope. And it was also inspired by the woman of the Little Rock Nine as well. He said, I was sitting around with my acoustic guitar and I heard about the civil rights troubles that were happening in the 60s in Alabama, Mississippi, Little Rock in particular. I just thought it would be really good if I could write something that if I ever reached any of the people going through those problems, it might give them a little hope. So I wrote Blackbird. And the Little Rock Nine is the non-black teenagers who in 1957 faced discrimination after they enrolled in a formerly all-white high school after the ruling of Brown versus Board of Education. So even the fact that Beyonce took this song and decided to cover it, and not only cover it, decided to feature four Black country singers on it is epic in itself. Tanner Adele, Brittany Spencer, Tierra Kennedy, and Raina Roberts. And I wanted to talk a little about them as well, since Beyonce is trying to shine a light on them. Let us shine a light on them as well. Tanner Adele, she's from Kentucky. She moved to Nashville, Tennessee in 2021. She was raised in the church. And she actually just went viral recently. You might have seen a post about her. She has this song called Buckle Bunny that she just released that was kind of going viral recently. So fast shouts to Tanner Adele. You have Brittany Spencer. She's from Baltimore, Maryland. And she as well grew up in the church. And she moved to Nashville as well. Nashville seemed to be like the cornerstone of a lot of country singers when they're kicking off their careers. Fast shouts to Brittany Spencer. You also have Tierra Kennedy. She's from Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama. And she taught herself how to play guitar from watching YouTube videos and then ended up taking trips to Nashville. I don't think she ever lived in Nashville, but she used to take trips to Nashville and perform at iconic venues such as Bluebird Cafe and the Listening Room. And she ended up getting her start that way. Fast shouts to Tierra Kennedy. And Raina Roberts, she's from Alaska, actually, Anchorage, Alaska. And she was born there, but she was raised between Alabama and California. And yeah, she got her start early on. Her mom used to take her to karaoke bars around Alaska. That's where she kind of like started singing and stuff like that. But she, I think, was it her that she kind of used her genre. What's the word she used? I think she called it like R&B country or something like that, Raina Roberts. But yeah, fast shouts to her. Someone said, Nashville is known as Music City due to the country music scene. Even a lot of R&B is recorded there. The Black Music Museum is in Nashville. That's what's up. Another person Beyonce collaborated with is another country singer by the name of Willie Jones. He's from Louisiana. And he got his start on the show The X Factor. And he as well grew up singing in the church. But it's dope that Beyonce tapped into the younger, newer generation of country singers who may not be getting the shine that she feels they deserve. She tapped into them and put them on this album. So that's huge. Rumi Carter is on the album. She felt Blue Ivy got a Grammy. I need to give me one too. So she's on this song called Protector. She also got Miley Cyrus and Post Malone on the album as well. One of the biggest collaborators that she has on this album is Linda Martell. Linda Martell is the first commercially successful Black female artist in country music. She was also the first Black female artist to play at the Grand Old Opry. She's helmed as being one of the first African-American country performers, and she helped influence the careers and the future of Nashville artists. And she's featured on, I forget what song Linda Martell is featured on, but she's throughout the album. She has like a little interlude on there, and it's just a lot of like historic little nuggets that's intertwined in this album. It's 27 songs long. They're not all songs though. Some are like interludes, some are little like skits, which she has one with Willie Nelson as well. But it's just when you first listen to it, you might not get into every single thing that's going on, but if you listen to it again, you could really get into some of the lyrics of the songs. And this album is definitely critically acclaimed, for sure. Beyonce said this album took over 5 years. She said, it's been really great to have that time and the grace to be able to take my time with it. I was initially going to put out Cowboy Carter first, but with the pandemic, there was too much heaviness in the world. We wanted to dance. We deserved to dance. But I had to trust God's timing. She said, I think people are going to be surprised because I don't think this music is what everyone expects, but it's the best music I ever made. That's big. And the reactions from this album, it might just be the best music Beyonce has ever made. Some people are already calling it the album of the year. Like I said, we only in March, and this might be the biggest album of the year, and rightfully so. It's not just people saying it to say it. Like, it's really low key, it might be a no skip album. Like, you could literally start it from the beginning. If you're in the right setting, start it from the beginning and go through. It really takes you through, like, through a journey. You learn a lot. There's a lot of like historic little nuggets. I keep saying that in it. And it's definitely worth the hype that people are ranting about when you look around social media. Beyonce also said that it was inspired by a bunch of different Western films. She says she played a lot of Western films during the recording process, and she named 5 of them as source material. 5 Fingers of Marcel's, Urban Cowboy, The Hateful Eight, Space Cowboys, The Harder They Fall, and The Killers of the Flower Moon. She said, my process is that I typically have to experiment. I enjoy being open to have the freedom to get all aspects of things I love out. So I worked on many songs. I recorded probably 100 songs. Once that is done, I'm able to put the puzzle together and realize the consistencies and the common themes, and then create a solid body of work. And that, I feel, she did, for sure. Another big collaborator she has on the album is Dolly Parton. She did a cover of Dolly Parton's Jolene, and she switched it up. Like, I wasn't too familiar with, I know the song, right, Jolene, but I wasn't familiar with the lyrics or anything like that. But after hearing Beyonce's version and going back and reading Dolly's version, she switched it up. Dolly was, in essence, like, begging this girl to not take her man, and Beyonce is over here like, you might not wanna, because I'm not the one to play with. Like, go find somebody else to play with. And that's a funny a twist on it. Like, I ain't begging you. Like, move along. Move around. This ain't what you want, in a nutshell. She also revealed that the character of Cowboy Carter was inspired by the original Black cowboys of the American West. She noted that the term cowboy was used to belittle former slaves as boys. She created Cowboy Carter to negate the connotation and highlight the strength and resiliency of these men, who were the true definition of Western fortitude. Thought out, well thought out. There's a lot of even contributors to the album that we don't even know yet. I don't know if all platforms are like this, but I know I particularly use Tidal, and Tidal, the credits aren't showing. It says pending whenever you try to read credits, but I'm hearing that Stevie Wonder has contributed in some way on the album. Chuck Berry. Trying to go through the names that are not like features. Rhiannon Giddens, Nile Rodgers, Gary Clark Jr. It's somebody I'm missing. Raphael Sadiq. That's what I was thinking of. He's one of the producers. He produced a lot of the, or at least had a hand in producing a lot of the records on the album. Pharrell, The Dream, Swizz Beatz, and Hov, of course, Jay-Z. But yeah, have y'all heard Cowboy Carter? Are y'all feeling it? Do y'all like it? What's y'all favorite song from the album? I'm curious to know. I think my favorite song probably is Buckin'. It's a song called Buckin'. It's a part of like three songs in one. I think it's called Sweet Honey Buckin'. It's literally like three songs in one. But I always say this. I've always said this. I love when Beyonce talk her shh. So any chance I get for Beyonce to talk her shit, I'm here for it. And she was talking her shit on Buckin'. And she even spoke about the album of the year situation and on Buckin' and how she, how the lyrics go? She said something like, AOTY didn't win. I ain't worried about them. I took it on the chin, went back and effed up the pen, something along those lines. But she addressed the Cowboy Carter. I mean, she addressed the album of the year snub situation. And yeah, talk your ish. I came across this post I wanted to read, and I feel like this summed it up like in the most perfect way. It's a Twitter username, MJ Finesse Lover, and she said, Beyonce is a musicologist, an intellectual and creative who makes music that is so intertwined with Black history. At this stage in her music career, where's her honorary PhD as a musicologist from a prominent music institution? She is not only a student of her craft, but a master. The listener has to be willing to digest and engage with Cowboy Carter, so they don't overlook the significant amount of music education she seamlessly weaves into every track. Her mentors slash idols, Prince, Tina Turner, and Michael Jackson will be so proud of her. I was like, I gotta agree. Like, that summed it up like perfectly. If you really take the time and really digest and listen to it, it's more than just an album. There's a lot of history embedded in it as well. Someone said, not to be messy, but this is why she is better than Taylor. Can Taylor do an R&B album or dance album or hip-hop album and country album? B did. That sounded like Colin. He'd be like, God did. Someone else said, I don't know what kind of deal they made, but Tony Tone Tone, Raphael, and even Dwayne have apparently written on every Destiny's Child Beyonce album. Wow, I didn't know that. I knew that Raphael has worked on Renaissance to Act One, and I knew he worked on Act Two, but to know that he worked on or written on every single Destiny's Child Beyonce album, that's big. That's what's up. They wrote No, No, No. Yeah, I didn't even know that. Fun fact. Yeah, but we're going to get ready to move on to what else is hot in these blogs. Diddy was another big story in the blogs this week because his homes were raided. A home in Cali and a home in Miami, I believe, were raided by the feds. And we don't know why exactly, but we know that it was a part of an ongoing investigation as it ties to like a trafficking situation. Apparently there's some allegations that were brought up by this producer Lil Rye. And I don't know if his lawsuit is the reason why the feds pulled up or if it's something much bigger, but apparently they were there because they were investigating this, SCX trafficking situation, and they raided the homes. They put all of the people that were there in handcuffs while they searched. And Diddy wasn't there at the time. There was reports initially that he fled the country, that his jet was on some island somewhere. And that was kind of like the narrative that was playing out on social media before we learned anything. And that was flying around. And then it turns out that Diddy was actually in Miami at the time. We've seen photos or videos of him around this airport where his jet was. And people were questioned. I think one person was arrested out of this whole situation. It wasn't Diddy. There was even pictures out of, it was AI generated pictures of fake Diddy that was arrested, and there was a mugshot even. And so many people were sharing it, and it's like, they was like, Diddy was arrested. And it's like, damn, just like a quick, even just a quick Google search, you would determine that that's not true. But that's the world we live in today with the internet, and the lies travel faster than the truth. But what I found interesting regarding this is the amount of people who were confused as to why the feds was raiding Diddy's place, the fact that Diddy wasn't arrested or whatever. They had this idea in mind that the feds were in there, that they were looking for Diddy. And I don't know, I guess I forget the fact that a lot of the people in the comment section on social media are younger, like are like probably predominantly like Gen Zers. And it was like, how is it not obvious? But I guess it's not obvious. But at the end of the day, all they're investigating. At the end of the day, all they need is a reason to get a search warrant to go into these people's homes, anybody's home. All they need is a solid enough reason, some type of evidence that gives them just enough leverage to get a warrant to search someone's home. There's no telling that they're gonna find what they're looking for once they go in a person's homes. I know people personally who were raided and falsely raided even at times. So just because the feds raided doesn't mean that they're going to find what they're looking for when they go in, and time will tell what they find. We don't even know what they were looking for exactly. We know they took a lot of stuff with them. Now with it, if they search these devices or whatever, they laptops, whatever, if they find what they were looking for, then we're going to have a different conversation, and then they might really be putting Diddy in cuffs or something. But as of right now, it's just an investigation. Diddy hasn't been found guilty of anything yet. He's been accused of a lot of things, and we just got to let it play out how it's going to play out. This lawsuit, though, that Lil Rod has against Diddy is not looking too good, because of the claims that's in the lawsuit. And his lawyer is not the most credible lawyer, apparently. His name is Tyrone Blackburn. The CEO of UMG, Lucien Grange, his lawyer came out with a statement regarding Lil Rod's lawsuit. And he said on March 27th, this lawyer put out this statement. He said he's claiming that Lil Rod's claims are offensively false and entirely invented. He added that Lil Rod's lawyer knowingly filed false allegations of criminal wrongdoing without the slightest factual or legal basis. He himself and the UMG, whoever else is named in this lawsuit, they're planning to seek sanctions against Tyrone Blackburn. He added that a license to practice law is a privilege. Mr. Blackburn has misused that license to self-promote, gratuitously, falsely, and recklessly accusing UMG defendants of criminal behavior, The complaint hurls accusations of criminal racketeering and criminal SEX trafficking against the UMG defendants, respective individuals and companies, having utterly nothing to do with the plaintiff's claims. These accusations are recklessly false and libelous. He said that Lil Rod has amended his lawsuit a few times. He said it drastically altered the allegations. He said, I've never seen any lawyer in any pleading in any court accuse people and companies of criminal conduct without the slightest basis, and then try to file an amended pleading completely jettisoning every allegation underpinning the original claims and substituting completely different and irreconcilable allegations to support the very same claims. He calls the motion a PR stunt fouled in bad faith. And I've been hearing a lot about this Tyrone Blackburn person. And it's like he's just taking everything that Lil Rod is saying as fact without any type of like real proof, apparently, and just filing the lawsuit on it. And when lawsuits like this come out, the court of public opinion is gonna find people like guilty way before the actual courts. So it's like a lot of damage is being done. And I mean, I always say where there's smoke, there's fire. So, you know, there may be some truth in it somewhere in it, but when you have stuff that's already been proven to not be true, it kind of puts a shadow over your whole entire lawsuit. Someone said they need probable cause, and the feds actually do have a pretty high standard to meet when they do, not quite like a typical police raid. Someone said, and the Southern District of New York is quite prestigious. Important to mention, if they are investigating Diddy, that's serious. And most top legal pundits, including a former prosecutor with the district, has said the sake. This is pretty serious for Diddy. Someone said, it's likely the feds already have some evidence against Diddy. The raids is likely the ending of their investigation. It has not been said the raid is related to Lil Rod's case. People aren't necessarily right to connect Diddy's raid to his complaint. There was Cassie and other accusers who would meet the standard I'm sure the feds are looking at. But yeah, amongst all this, Diddy maintains his innocence. His lawyer released a statement following when the raids happened, and he said there was a gross overuse of military level force as search warrants were executed at Mr. Combs' residences. There is no excuse for the excessive show of force and hostility exhibited by authorities or the way his children and employees were treated. Mr. Combs was never detained, but spoke to and cooperated with authorities. Despite media speculation, neither Mr. Combs nor any of his family members have been arrested, nor has their ability to travel been restricted in any way. This unprecedented ambush, paired with an advanced, coordinated media presence, leads to a premature rush of judgment of Mr. Combs and is nothing more than a witch hunt based on meritless accusations made in civil lawsuits. There has been no finding of criminal or civil liability with any of these allegations. Mr. Combs is innocent and will continue to fight every single day to clear his name. And there you have it. My thing, I just want people to not like rush to judgment so quick, and let it play out at the end of the day. Like if something comes of these raids, if the feds do have something on Diddy, let's wait until they complete their investigation and put out an official statement on what they find. Wait till you see that man in handcuffs and, you know, facing trial or what have you. And then we can judge in that way. What else I wanted to mention? Oh, I wanted to explore the idea that some people have, like, I seen Stevie J. I seen post about it. I seen what's his name? Slim Thug post about this idea that Black people want Diddy to fail, or that Black people are, like, I guess, so quick to, like, grab popcorn. I think someone said grab popcorn and watch the fall of a Black man or whatever. I wanted to explore that and how, why I should say it don't really, like, make me feel no way when I hear people say that. I think for me personally, it doesn't necessarily mean that this person is, like, innocent. He may not be innocent, but I will say it does kind of feel like we are the only group of people who, like, be, like, taking excitement in cases like this when it happens. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I don't see, like, when it's, like, white prominent figures that's going down, I don't really see, like, white people, like, yo, look at this, like, da-da-da, like, da-da-da, like, you know, just, like, feasting off of it. I take that to be what they are talking about when they say that. I don't think, for me personally, I don't think it means that they feel they're innocent, because we don't know if he's innocent or not, but I do see that happening a lot when cases like this come about. It do feel like this, like, salaciousness of, like, it's just, like, juicy and, like, oh, look at this, and what's next? And, like, it's one thing to do it, like, amongst, like, you know, your friends or whatever, but when people be online, like, publicly in these comment sections, like, going in, it could feel that way. It could feel like we love to see when someone is being, like, taken down or whatever. It could feel that way. But again, I'm not in, like, white spaces. I'm not in, like, Asian spaces or any other group of people spaces when they have, like, prominent known figures who may be going down for crimes. I just don't see, like, the people online as much as we be going in online about it. I don't see it. Someone said, yes, they do. They will do YouTube video after YouTube video on white predators. Look up Quiet on the Set. People talk about what they look at or who they look like. We are fans of Black entertainers. Most of us are not focused on white celebrities like that, but they get attacked too. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't see it, but that's news to me. Like, if they are doing it, but yeah, it's definitely not on my radar for sure. But yeah, we'll see how this plays out. At the end of the day, something is going down. And it's a lot. It's a lot. And a lot of people got stories about Diddy. A lot of people are coming out saying with their own, like, allegations against him, various people with various stories. So it's not looking too good. It's not looking too good. So We don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens between the civil complaints, the civil cases, and if there are any criminal cases that come out in the future. But as of right now, it's just an investigation and a bunch of civil cases and a bunch of allegations. And innocent until proven guilty. We'll see what happens. But yeah, let's move on. Last but not least, what I want to talk about, and it kind of falls into what blows mine for this week. And it has to do with today being Easter Sunday, and also Biden making this announcement about it being International Transgender Day of Visibility. And I've seen a few posts now regarding this. Tyrese, I've seen one from him where he was like demanding an apology from Joe Biden for declaring Easter Sunday as Transgender Day of Visibility. I've seen Caitlyn Jenner, who's actually trans herself, came out basically slamming Joe Biden about making this day Transgender Day Visibility. She said, "I am absolutely disgusted that Joe Biden has declared the most holy of holy days, a self-proclaimed devout Catholic, as Transgender Day of Visibility. The only thing you should be declaring on this day is he is risen." And what blows mine about this is the fact that these people are loud and wrong. They are literally just trying to take any type of shots they can at Biden and trying to do it at the knowing that a lot of people are not gonna like do research about it or understand anything about it. But the reason why this is like funny to me is Easter doesn't fall on the same day every year. Easter falls on a different day every year. This Transgender Day of Visibility is set on March 31st every year. And it has been since 2009, apparently. And this has nothing to do with anyone's religion or if you are for trans people, if you're against trans people. I don't care. I don't give a F about any of that. Like, to each his own. You have the right to feel that way if you are against it or if you are for it. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about just the facts and the fact that March 31st, ever since 2009, has been this day, this Transgender Day. I forget the actual term for it, International Transgender Day of Visibility. Easter, however, is going to change. It just so happens that Easter fell on March 31st this year. So to try to accuse Biden of like trying to like overturn Easter to make it about this Transgender Day of Visibility is simply false. If you know anything about Easter, you would know that the date change every year. The next time Easter is going to be on March 31st, I think I read it won't happen again until like the year 2086 or some wild number like that. Like, it's just a coincidence that that day is falling on today. Biden is not trying to change nothing or make nothing, overturn Easter or anything like that. And I just need people to understand that and not run with these false narratives. And of course, 45, which was the former occupant of the White House, of course, he's going to have his hand in it and try to feed off of the religious people, the Catholics, the Christians, trying to feed off of them and make them feel like Biden is doing something that's against their values and stuff. But it's like, it's just simply not true at the end of the day. If we're going to be mad about something, let's be mad about factual things and not just made up narratives. And I feel like the world would be a much better place if we just like focused on just doing a little research before you just jump to conclusions on things and not believe everything you see online. And I feel like they know that. They know that a lot of people are gonna just see that Biden has declared March 31st this day and like, what? And it's like, come on now. But yeah, I'm sure y'all will see it yourselves. It's gonna reach all over before it's corrected, because the negative aspect of it is gonna be more louder than the people trying to correct it. So, yeah, that blew my mind. Like, just do some research. But yeah, that concludes what's hot in these blogs for this week. Gonna get ready to wrap this thing on up. In the meantime, in between time, be sure to follow me on social media at I Am Hollywood, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Follow my producer, Stacy, at Hampton Blue Network across all platforms. Just remember, BLU is how you spell blue. And if you want to see us and not just hear us, hit up youtube.com/HamptonBlue. And yeah. We're going to get ready to get up out of here. Until next time, deuces.
Let me show you off, take off no matter the cost. Come on now, let me take you across lakes and rivers, yachts and boats. We could go to Paris, let me show you the lavish. Ain't no need to pack, we can shout where we landed. Get you well established, upgrading your status. Then we hit the Eiffel for dinner when you famished. We could go to Spain, Barcelona, Senorita. I'll show you a buen momento. And we don't gotta rush a thing, despacito. Just wanna spend my time contigo, tigo.
So I'm a one true beauty, and is that the finest thing all around the world? No hesitate, you choose anything you want, but just why you be me. So I'm a one true beauty, and is that the finest thing all around the world? No hesitate, you choose anything you want, but just why you be me.
Come on now, let me show you walk. Take off no matter the cost. Come on now, let me take you across lakes and rivers, yachts and boats. Take you on a cruise to the carnival, Barbados, crop over yo, yeah. Or Trinidad, Tobago tote, we could island hop like we kangaroos, we could go to Jamaica, hit Ocho Rios, lounge with the locals, eat like the people, hey. Island tings, rum punch and mojito, wah, wah. Then watch the sunset from a gazebo, zebo.
Coast to coast, grand banana, hey. Jamaica, the land no water, she take a full line for me marijuana, yeah. She then yeah, she know I'm creating a drama, hey. No, African queen girl. Trip in my ride, your body clean like this, bruh. Let me take your pun to a girl.
What you mean you just got this passport? She only got one stamp in it. Let's change that.
So I'm a one true beauty, and is that the finest thing all around the world? No hesitate, you choose anything you want, but just why you be my guy. So I'm a one true beauty, and is that the finest thing all around the world? You choose anything you want, but just want you be my girl.
Come on now, let me show you off. Take off no matter the cost. Come on now, let me take you across lakes and rivers, yachts and boats. Hey.